This morning, we carry our text. Good morning, Brother Jim. We're walking through the Revelation. It's a difficult book. It's not one for the lighthearted, but it's so revealing. It's one book in the Bible that says if you will read it, you will be blessed. If you listen to it, you will be blessed. If you do what it says, you will be blessed. That is a promise from God, so therefore you will have a blessing as you share with the Scripture. As we continue with our journey, we saw in chapter 1 the unveiling of Jesus Christ, and He manifested Himself before man. In chapters 2 and chapter 3, we saw the last church ages. The last church ages that's the period in which we are living in now. In this church age, we know that we're moving in between the Church of the Philadelphia and the Church of the Laodicea. So therefore, we're living in what is known as the last church age. There's another name for where we are, and that is called the Age of the Gentiles. The Age of the Gentiles focuses upon that point in which men and women, when Jesus Christ came on earth, and He walked on the earth, lived a sinless life, died upon a cruel cross, was buried, and He rose again on the third day, that began the age of the Gentiles. While Christ was alive, He was here as the Messiah, but His people did not receive Him. They rejected Him. And so after they rejected Him, then they turned to this period of time. You will not see the age of the Gentiles necessarily in the Old Testament, but what you will see is that of the coming of the Messiah. Then after chapters 2 and 3, we move into a segment of heaven. And in heaven, chapter 4, we saw where there was great love and the people were praising God. We saw there was representation of the 24 elders and the four living ones or the four beasts. Inside of that, you saw 12 tribes of the nation of Israel representing all the saints of the Old Testament. And you saw 12 of the elderlies, the fathers, representing the 12 apostles of the New Testament. So what do you have? 12 of the old, 12 of the new, representing all mankind, all believing mankind, all the saints, all the saved. They were before the throne. Following that, we went into a period of time in which there was this book. This book was that of the seal, which had 7 seals on it. This book represented the inheritance, or who would own the dominion of the earth. We recognize that the dominion of the earth was lost by Adam and Eve. They had dominion over the earth, but they legally lost it to Satan because they sinned, and therefore they fell under the curse of death. Now, the book was sealed. Who would redeem it? We saw that John, the apostle, was weeping because he looked upon the earth and he saw no one could redeem it until all of a sudden one was standing by and said, "Weep not, John, for there is one. It is the Lion. It is the Lamb. It is the tribe of Judah." And so therefore he pointed out the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus came and he took the book. And inside of the book, in the redemption of this planet earth, we see that there are 7 seals. And upon these 7 seals, there are judgments. We began looking last week. We went through the 7 seals. We saw the first seal. We think about the 4 horsemen of the Revelation. In the first seal, we saw that of the white horse, which represented the Antichrist. In the second seal, we saw the red horse, which represented that of war. Then we saw the third horse. It was black, which represented famine. Famine always follows war. And then we saw the gray horse, and the gray horse was that of death. And following death, the Scripture says, was Hades, or hell. Coming out of this, that was the first four seals. In the fifth seal, we saw the martyrs of the believers. Those who were here on this earth, who received Christ, they were martyred for what they believed in. And then in the sixth seal, we saw where there was cataclysmic events on this earth, where nature began to revolt and began to change. That was in the sixth seal. We made it through the sixth seal with this earthly cataclysmic event in nature. And then we come to the seventh seal. When we hit the seventh seal, this is going to be broken open and you're going to see that there is silence in heaven. Why is there silence in heaven? Because this last seal is going to be so terrible. It is going to be so much judgment that we are literally going to see a third of the earth burned. We are literally going to see the sea water that will be contaminated and polluted. We will see the fresh water as it will be contaminated and polluted. Then we will see even demons coming up out of hell, and they will blacken the skies. That's the reason why he announces, when he hits this, he says, "Woe, woe, woe," because of the judgments that are going to be occurred. As we move into this next segment, as we will be opening the seventh seal, I'd like to encourage you to say two things. Number one, I'd like to say, know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you see, the rapture is going to occur before the 7 years of the tribulation starts. And that's where all the believers are going to be taken up out of this earth to be and to dwell with Jesus Christ forever and ever. That is known as the rapture. After the rapture occurs, the 7 years of the tribulation. Now, know Him today. But I'd also like to encourage you, because the picture that we are about to paint is not that of a pleasant picture, I'd like to encourage you so that you would encourage people that you love and care and you know that they might come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that they will never have to go through this period of time. And you may say, well, is this period of time about to start? I don't know that answer. The Bible says no man knows that answer. No man knows the day nor the hour. But everything's in place. All the prophecies have been fulfilled that need to be fulfilled for the coming of the Lord Jesus, for the rapture of the church. So therefore, the time of God's clock is ticking. We don't know exactly when it's going to fire off, but we know the fact that it is. Therefore, we are now breaking into the seventh seal. We will be looking at chapters 8 and chapter 9 this morning. And as we look into these two chapters, I'd like to begin with Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. The scripture says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an half hour." Silence in heaven. I heard about one man that read this, and he said, "There won't be any women in heaven." And the woman turned around and said, "Oh no, there won't be any men in heaven, because have you ever seen an angel with a beard?" And the man replied, "Well, men get there by a close shave." And so, I don't know. There's silence. But this I do know. The silence in heaven, it must have been awesome. I mean, silence. You know, have you ever recognized how deathly silence is? It'll do that, won't it? And yet in heaven, there was silence. The angels ceased praising. The saints held their tongue. God the Father was there. Jesus, our Lord, was there. The Holy Spirit. And there was silence. The depth of that begins to tell us it was kind of like the lull before the storm. In verse 2 he says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now these angels were not just any type of an angel. They were special angels. They were cherubims. The angel Gabriel, he would have been listed as one of these men. And so therefore they were seven angels specifically prepared for such a day and such a time as this. And they were given seven trumpets. Now, what are these seven trumpets? And we will look with them as they are developed. Verse 3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having the golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Let's just kind of keep this thing in focus. We're going to see the veil used twice. First of all, we're going to see this veil like a holder of incense that would be offered up. And that's the prayers. Your prayers that you are praying today are in the presence of God. It's sometimes we think that our prayers don't get any higher than this roof. But reality, our prayers go to the throne of grace and they are there on the altar, and your prayers are being answered. Never shorten the impact of prayer. God will answer and God will complete. So we see in this right here, as this golden censer, that there were much prayers of the saints that were being lifted up in altar before the throne of God. But now wait a minute. We take this same censer in verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Can you see this now as an action of judgment? It is a righteous, loving God sending forth judgment upon those who had rejected Him for thousands of years, and now those who love darkness are going to receive that darkness. It is in the course of this judgment. If you remembered last week, we talked about the world's greatest revival. It is following the sealing of the 144,000. It is following the multitude of the millions who accepted Christ during this period of time, lost their life, their blood was crying out, they were before the altar of God, the prayers being lifted up, and now He takes the censer and He dips the fire, and that is known as judgment. That judgment, therefore, is ready to fall, and thus we move into the sounding of the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and green grass was burned up. What does that sound like? Does that sound like an atomic blast? Does that sound like that energy that is released from this atomic energy, maybe the bombs that are bursting forth as a result of the chaos that's going on? Could it be the nuclear fallout that is falling in upon the grass? And they're burned. A third part of it is burned. Well, I want you to see that is what it could be. But inside of this, there's also symbolism. Symbolism. When you begin to look inside of this verse, and you will see a third part of the trees. The trees are always symbolized as those who are rulers. In fact, if you will remember when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and when Daniel revealed that dream unto him, he said unto him, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you are the tree. And that's found in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 20 through 23. You are the tree that was grown. And then we see the green grass. The green grass talks about people as found in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 and 7. So how then is this to be taken? Literally? Absolutely. This is a little event that will be transpiring upon planet Earth. Should we also see it symbolically? Absolutely. So these two join hands together, and there is silence. Silence in heaven when this began, before this began. I'm still going back to that word silence. Kind of bothers me. How long is 30 minutes? How long is 30 minutes when a little bitty baby is choking because they're spitting up, and that mother is looking at that baby, and it seems like eternity, but yet it's just a matter of seconds. How long is it when somebody is approaching a wreck and it's a matter of seconds and it's all over with? How long is it for a person who appears to be drowning and what they thought was long time was only a matter of seconds, and yet in heaven there was 30 minutes of silence? And then the angel, he pours out the fire, hail, fire mingled with blood. We're moving on pretty fast here. We're looking at the second trumpet. And the second trumpet sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire and was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. What have you found here? What have you found here? In the first trumpet, there was the water that was burned up, a part of the vegetation. But now we see what is burning up here. Now we see the judgment that is following here. We're seeing all of a sudden it's becoming on the sea. Can you imagine what it would be like if a third of the sea life? No more shrimp. Alaskan crabs? They're gone. A third of the sea life? Imagine the ships that are on there. You know, our country today, we depend on many ships to bring the oil into the country in which we're burning. But can you imagine a third of that taken out? And what would transpire with no energy? Imagine the food. Imagine the transportation. Imagine the equipment. Imagine what is going to happen during this period of time with the destruction of sea life and that which is upon the sea. But is there symbolism in this? Absolutely. Inside of the symbolism, we see there's a mountain. And the mountain is that of kingdoms. Babylon was a kingdom. Modern day Iraq is a kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 25 said, "Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. I will stretch out mine hand upon Babylon and roll thee down from the rocks and will make thee a burnt mountain." The symbolism is found. The mountains was that of the kingdoms, and the seas is always known as that of the people, according to Isaiah 57 verse 20. But then let's go to the third trumpet. We're getting through kind of fast because when we hit the last trumpet, we'll spend a lot of time. And the third trumpet, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the parts of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the water, and the name of the star was Wormwood, and that Wormwood means bitterness. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. What is happening here? Could that be a meteorite? Could that be a meteorite breaking through, hitting of the water supply? All of a sudden we see now the sea life, a third of it's destroyed. And now the fresh water is being destroyed. Judgment is falling upon it. What could it be? This great star falling out of heaven? But we also got to remember that Satan was a star. He comes as a shining light. He was the star that was kicked out of heaven. And so that we see coming out of heaven, this great star. And the water is now, the fresh water is now polluted. Fourth trumpet, verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun was smitten. And the third part of the moon. And the third part of the stars. So as third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard angels flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other angels and the trumpets and the three angels which were yet to sound." When you pick up on these three woes, when he says it for emphasis' sake right here, they are announcing something that is so terrible that he begins to cry out as though it was war, and we see a demonstration of this darkness that's coming in here. Darkness which is so tight. Hey, we've seen this darkness before. Do y'all remember in the Exodus when the children of Israel, there were 10 plagues? One of the plagues was that of darkness. And the darkness was upon the earth for 3 days. It was eerie. You could feel it. You could sense it. And now this trumpet brings forth darkness. So what have we had here? We've had the destruction of plant life. We've had judgment against the sea life. We've had judgments against the fresh water. And now judgments from the heavenly. We see this judgment that's coming down, a demonstration of the darkness. And that was bad. But the old saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet, okay? And then all of a sudden, what is about to transpire, I don't know that we can really put it in words, but we're going to give it our best shot. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Folks, now we're going to begin to see. If you can comprehend chapter 9, then you will be able to understand why Jesus said, the world has never seen what is about to happen. You'll be able to conquer. You'll be able to understand why Jesus said, oh, you don't want to be a part of this, because it is going to be the great tribulation like the world has never seen before, and you will begin to sense the depth of it. Yes, it's like a dream when we see all this destruction. But now we're going to the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, what is that? The word pit there is the word abyss. We use the word hell in many applications. Right now, there is this guy. It is a person. The star is a personage, kind of like Michael Phillips. He's a star now, right? If any of y'all watch The Swim and the Golden Medals, he's a star. And I'm proud of him. I'm proud to be an American. And I'm proud that the American did so great. There was a great star. But yet this star came out of heaven and was given the keys to the bottomless pit. Now, when you begin to see this and ask yourself the question, why is this so terrible? Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What we're looking at here, we are looking now at the worst of the worst, chained in a place called the abyss. And in rapid fashion, we're going to give you 11 pictures, 11 mental pictures, to see what is happening coming up out of this. And again, I go back to say, this is the reality of what is coming, so that we are encouraged to live for God in glory today. But folks, those who choose not to live for God and to enjoy the presence of the Lord today, there is another option. But it's an option that nobody wants to take. But yet, the Scripture brings it out and makes it evident so that we might be encouraged. This angel came out of heaven. And he came down. It could have been the fallen angel. It could have been Satan. It could have been Satan, because Satan, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 8, and I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. What is this? It could very well be that Satan was kicked out of heaven again, and he was given the keys to go get some recruits. But where is he going to get his recruits from? There are the demons that are alive and well on planet Earth today. But those aren't the bad demons. I mean, they're bad, okay? How do you say it? The worst of the worst. I don't know any other way that I can put it. In fact, we're going to see that they're so bad that... Do you remember a guy named Legion? Legion, the Bible talks about Legion. That Jesus asked this man who was demon-possessed, he says, what's your name? And he says, my name is Legion. Because there were many demons inside of him. And these demons cried out to Jesus, Jesus, please do not cast us to the abyss. Or they said, do not cast us to the bottomless pit. Even the demons that are on planet Earth today did not want to go and be where those demons, the worst of the worst, are chained. I guess if you were to see it, when he cuts loose of this, when we begin to see these degenerate spirits, well, let's look in verse 2. Verse 2 says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. What happened right here? Degenerate spirits now are beginning to boil out of this place of the abyss. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. These are those fallen angels that are now chained, waiting upon this day. They are degenerate spirits. I guess the easiest way to try to capture this, what if there was a decree that came out of the United Nations that said, worldwide, unlock all prison doors. Let all the murderers, rapists, let them all go free. Unlock them and do not, and every policeman, take off your badge and lay it down. Everyone that wants to keep the peace, can you imagine what it would be like to unlock the doors of the worst and let them be on a worldwide basis to run free to do what they want to do? That's only an imaginary moment of what's going to happen when those chained spirits are going to be released out of the bottomless pit, and how that they are going to come up. They are degenerate spirits. But number two, they are darkening spirits. The scripture also continues in verse 2. He says, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Imagine. I can see in my mind's eye right now the forest fires that are out in California. How it must have been so bad when you get in some of those areas where all you could see was smoke, or traveling in on the interstate on Florida when some of those brush fires come in. If you ever get caught out there and the smoke can come off and you can't see anything, I can only imagine. But there are going to be so many of these demonic spirits that are going to come up out of hell that they are literally going to darken the sky. They are darkening spirits. Imagine the physical darkness, but there's also spiritual darkness that's going. Number three, there are going to be devouring spirits. Look in verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them that was given the power as the scorpions of the earth. They are devouring spirits. They are coming like locusts. I have read about in the Middle East, how that many times that there have been locusts that have come in ranks, in marching order, and would literally come across and eat everything that was green, every flower, every blade of grass, in so much that I've read about where they'd even strip the bark off of trees so that when they come through with this marching force, that nothing would stop them. And yet, we're going to see something very unique about this in verse 3. Or as we continue on, look into verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Do y'all remember us talking about the seal of God? Yeah, the 144,000, they were sealed. Any man that would not receive the seal of God, therefore, these devouring spirits were to come, but they were coming to come to do something. This marching army, they are debilitating spirits. Look in verse 5. And in verse 5, the scripture says, and to them it was given that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torments as the torment of a scorpion, which he striketh a man. Noticing now, this massive army of demons are not there to kill. They're only there to create pain for 5 months. Has anybody ever been hit by a scorpion? I've never. Anybody? I read after one guy, he says he got hit by a scorpion on one hand, and the other hand, he said in just a matter of minutes, he felt nauseous. And he just wanted to throw up because the pain was so excruciating. He said in a matter of minutes, he felt that some of the glands of his body beginning to swell because of the poison that was there. I read after some of the scorpions, and that this pain that would be striking, that many times these scorpions would come and it would affect the nervous system. It would affect that the body would begin to twist. It would affect the eyes, that many times that the eyes were blurred and there would be much pain in there. That's a scorpion of today. But can you imagine what it is going to be? These demonic creatures that are going to come up, they are restricted not to touch the vegetation, only to touch those who are not sealed by God, and they will be suffering for 5 months. Let's pick up these debilitating spirits as we begin to look in verse 5. And in verse 5, well, when we read verse 5, let's go now into verse 7. Let's look at the doubtless scripture in verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle. And their heads were crowns like gold. And their faces were the faces of men. What do we see inside of this? We find these are dauntless spirits that are coming here. These dauntless spirits, they are it's highly symbolic. They have the shape of horses. And these horses are prepared for battle. Have you ever watched the old movies where the knights come out and they run and they fight with these big lances? I mean, when those horses break loose, it's like every fiber in them, they tear out to go in there. That's what these beings, these creatures are going to be like. They're going to be in rank, and they're going to be in file, and they're going to be dauntless, and there's not going to be any stopping unto them. And they're going to go even so much that people in those days are going to desire to die. Look in verse 6. Let me back up to verse 6 where it says, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." The pain, the suffering is going to be so bad that man is going to wish to die. And he cannot. The only picture that comes to my mind is as though there was this drug addict and he was in a padded cell and he had lost all, and all of a sudden his body begins to crump and crumble, and his body begins to this man who's an addict and he just wants to die. He's in this padded cell and he can't die. That's what it's going to be like. A person is going to wish to die, and they can't. They cut their wrists. And they don't bleed to death. They take poison and they don't die. But they want to die. They want to die. The suffering, the debilitating, these dauntless spirits coming prepared for battle like a swarm, rake and file. But I want you to see they're also domineering spirits in verse 6. In verse 7. In verse 7, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for battle, and their heads were crowns of gold." Crowns of gold. Crown means dominion. And so therefore, nobody, no monetary, no military, no medical will be able to stop these. The forces are coming on. Number 7, they're also deceptive spirits. Verse 7, it says, "And they had their face like the faces of men." The typology that we see here, the face speaks of intelligence. And now Satan comes on, and we know of Satan's wiles, and we know of Satan's deception, in so much that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What is this? These are deceptive spirits trained by Satan himself. And the devices of Satan are now showing deceptive, even so much that in Matthew 24:24, "There shall arise false prophets, false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they would even deceive the very elect." That's how deceptive. Defiling, oh yes. Verse 8, "And their hair, as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of the lions." They had the face of a man, but they had the hair of a woman. The symbolic picture behind this is that they are seductive spirits. And this seductive spirit can give you a mental image that it deals with like sorcery of today. Folks, do not touch, do not play. If you've got a Ouija board at home, you go home and you burn it. If you've got astrology cards, if you're looking at your horoscope to get direction, anything that deals with the occult comes forth from the deceptive spirit of Satan himself. And so therefore, you must do away with that and get away with that, or you will be deceived. And we see that. It's right here. They had the faces as though it was like the hair of a woman, the face of a man. So we are taught here, never flirt with the occult. Because the teeth of the lions, when they come in, they crush and they don't release. Number 9, they are defiant. "And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings is the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. Cold-hearted, callous, bullets won't stop them. Intelligence won't stop them. Arguments won't stop them. Nothing will stop them." I'm mindful of Sherman in the Confederate War when he chose an area of about 2 miles wide. And 2 miles wide, he would just cut through the area of the South with destruction, leaving nothing in its path. Folks, I can imagine that when these demonic spirits, when they're defiant, nothing will stop them. And they will push for crushing everything in their way, bringing forth this pain. They are durable spirits. Look in verse 10, and we're almost through. In verse 10, and they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt 5 months. Why five? You remember the number five? 5 and 10 means complete. And so therefore this 5 is representing there is going to be complete suffering and complete pain that are going to be offered from these demonic spirits that are going to come up out of hell itself, out of the abyss. Also remember that 5 months, that's the lifespan of a locust. And so we see that these durable spirits are going to come, and John is telling us right here that the pain and the suffering is not going to stop until God says, that's it. That's it. When it's complete. And the last thing that we see is that they are diabolical spirits in verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, the word means destroyer. Destroyer. Now, we imagined earlier all the prison doors of the universe opened up. But could we also imagine how that one person out of the universe rose up and said, and got in contact with some type of intelligence, and all the forces of evil behind would follow that one man? I can't imagine. Would you want your children to grow up in a society where evil ran rampage, where there was no law, where there was no order, and there was nothing but evilness that would be bulging out of the man? And so therefore what we're looking at right here, this destroyer, in what he's telling us, that neither Jew nor Gentile is ever going to be, will be able to escape. And so therefore, when the angel said, woe, 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 he knew what he was talking about. So what are we to do today? I remember flying, I believe it was from Washington to Atlanta, but I'm not for sure if that was the exact flight. But flying from Washington to Atlanta, got on the airplane one time, and the stewardess says, if you're on this airplane and you don't want to spend your morning in Atlanta, you need to disembark. In other words, if you're on the wrong airplane, get off now. You see, if you're not on the right plane going to heaven, or if you're on the wrong plane going the other way, it's time to get off. God loves you. God cares for you. He doesn't want you to go through this horrible time. And we've only just scratched the surface, and we understand that this is the wrath that's going to be poured out. But what's going to happen for us? We're going to hear another trumpet. And the Bible says, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. Those who are alive are going to be called up, but the dead in Christ are going to rise incorruptible. And how long shall we be? The Bible says, so we shall ever be with the Lord. We've got the Word. God loves you. As we began our worship service, this is love. Jesus showed us what love was. A massive, creative, enduring love. May people choose love. And if they choose love, then they don't have to face the horrors in which we are now unveiling as we travel through the Revelation. What about you today? What about you? Have you made preparations? Are you ready for the trumpet to sound? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready just to enjoy life? I am. I am. I'm telling you. And it gets more exciting every day. It really does. You know, one thing, there's something else. You know, if a person goes to hell, they don't have Jesus. And I would rather live 1,000 lives and die 1,000 times for Jesus. Jesus, He loves us. He cares for us. Oh, He's given us a path. He's given us a plan. And He says to each one of us, I love you. I love you. Please love me. Please love me. And those who love Jesus will live for Him. And you know what's going to happen. So folks, let this be an encouraging word for us. Yes, for us to go to heaven, but also for the people that we know and care about. They might go to heaven so they will not have to face the judgments that will come. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before You this morning, we are mindful that Jesus Christ loves us with an everlasting love. And Father, in my mind, even though I read the Word and see what it could be like, I know that I'm not even scratching the surface. Holy Spirit, only You can make this real to us. The reality of the moment. And that's what I ask for. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us. Help us to get fired up for Jesus Christ. Love Jesus more because of what He's going to save us from. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know You today, I pray that they will accept You this morning. Other decisions, Lord, that are going to be made. As families come, Lord, we love You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and share in a time of invitation. Those who want to give your life to Jesus, just come meet me down front. If you'd like to join the church, I'd love to talk with you. What about you today? The prayer altars are open. Maybe you know somebody that needs to be prayed for. Please do it. Maybe somebody just needs to get things right with God. The prayer altars are open. Let's just respond as God leads us.